Skrepenith Brot. On February 21st, 1982, at approximately 2:00 p.m. Central Time, Robert Crandall picked up his office phone at American Airlines headquarters in Dallas and dialed a number he'd called before, the direct line to Howard Putnam, CEO of Braniff International Airways. What happened in the next 3 minutes would lead to a federal investigation, redefine the legal boundaries of corporate competition in America, and ultimately expose just how far executives were willing to go during the most chaotic period in aviation history. Because Howard Putnam was recording the call, and what Crandall said would become one of the most infamous pieces of evidence in antitrust law. But to understand why this phone call mattered, why it sent shockwaves through boardrooms across the country, you need to understand what was happening to the airline industry in 1982, and more importantly, what these two men were really fighting over. For 40 years, the U.S. government had controlled airline pricing through the Civil Aeronautics Board. Airlines couldn't simply charge whatever they wanted. Fares were set by federal regulators, routes were assigned like postal franchises, and competition happened through service quality, not price. It was orderly, predictable, profitable. Then, on October 24, 1978, President Carter signed the Airline Deregulation Act. Almost overnight, the rules vanished. Airlines could fly wherever they wanted, charge whatever the market would bear, enter new cities, abandon old ones. The logic seemed sound. Free market competition would lower prices, increase service, and benefit consumers. What actually happened was war. By 1982, the industry was hemorrhaging cash. Established carriers like Pan Am, TWA, and Eastern were slashing fares to defend market share. Upstarts like People Express were offering $19 flights across the country, operating out of abandoned terminals with plastic seats and no frills. And in Dallas, the fourth largest aviation market in America, two legacy carriers were locked in a death spiral. American Airlines, the nation's second largest carrier, had been profitable for decades. Its CEO, Robert Crandall, was a former Hallmark Cards executive known for his volcanic temper and obsessive focus on data. He'd risen through American's finance department, installed the industry's first computerized reservation system, Sabre, and wasn't about to let deregulation destroy what he'd built. Across town sat Braniff International Airways, once a glamorous carrier famous for brightly colored planes designed by Alexander Calder and flight attendant uniforms by Emilio Pucci, Braniff had expanded aggressively after deregulation, adding 16 new cities in a single year. By 1980, it was flying to South America, Europe, and Asia simultaneously, operating at a scale its infrastructure couldn't support. The airline was burning through $5 million a month. Howard Putnam had been brought in as CEO in September 1981 to save it. A former United Airlines executive with a reputation for operational discipline, Putnam immediately began shuttering unprofitable routes and cutting staff. But he inherited a balance sheet drowning in debt from aircraft leases Braniff couldn't afford and labor contracts negotiated when the company had been flush with cash. And then American Airlines began a price war in Dallas. In early 1982, American dropped fares on the Dallas to Chicago route by 50%. Braniff matched. American cut further. Braniff followed. The same pattern repeated on Dallas to Los Angeles, Dallas to Kansas City, Dallas to Houston. Neither airline was making money on these routes anymore. They were fighting over passengers at a loss, each hoping the other would flinch first. Crandall's strategy was simple. American had deeper pockets. If the price war continued long enough, Braniff would collapse. American would reclaim the Dallas market and fares could return to profitable levels. It was a calculated burn. Lose money now to eliminate a competitor later. Putnam knew this. He also knew Braniff couldn't survive it. The airline's creditors were circling. Cash reserves were nearly depleted. Bankruptcy was weeks away, maybe days. So when his phone rang that February afternoon and he heard Crandall's voice on the line, Putnam did something unusual. He pressed the record button on a device he'd recently installed on his office phone. He later claimed he'd been recording calls for weeks, concerned about the pressure American was applying. Whether that's true or convenient revisionism doesn't change what happened next. Crandall didn't waste time with pleasantries. According to the transcript later released by the Department of Justice, Crandall proposed something direct. "I think this is dumb as hell, for Christ's sake, all right, to sit here and pound the cow 1% out of each other and neither one of us making a what that just percent dime." Putnam responded cautiously. "Well," Crandall continued, "I mean, you know, I'll let it pound a percent. What the hell is the point of it?" Then came the line that would define the entire case. "I have a suggestion for you. Raise your goddamn fares 20%. I'll raise mine the next morning." There was a pause. Putnam replied carefully. "Robert, we," Crandall kept going, "you'll make more money, and I will too." Putnam's response was measured, almost scripted. "We can't talk about pricing," Crandall pushed back. "Oh, 8%, Howard. We can talk about any goddamn thing we want to talk about." The call ended shortly after. Putnam hung up, rewound the tape, and called his attorneys. What Crandall had proposed, explicitly coordinating prices between competitors, is called price fixing. It's one of the clearest violations of the Sherman Antitrust Act, a law passed in 1890 specifically to prevent exactly this kind of collusion. It doesn't matter if the agreement is formal or informal. It doesn't matter if it's written down. Under U.S. law, even discussing coordinated pricing with a competitor is illegal. The intent alone is sufficient. And Crandall had stated his intent clearly on a recorded line. Putnam's lawyers immediately contacted the Department of Justice. Within days, the Antitrust Division opened an investigation. By March 1982, the recording had been transcribed, verified, and circulated internally at DOJ headquarters. American Airlines' legal team went into crisis mode. Crandall was hauled into emergency meetings. The company's outside counsel began preparing a defense, but the facts were unambiguous. The call had happened. The words were clear. The recording was authentic. On March 9, 1982, the Justice Department filed a civil antitrust lawsuit against American Airlines. They didn't pursue criminal charges, likely because there was no evidence Crandall's proposal had actually been accepted or implemented. But the civil complaint was damning. It quoted the call transcript verbatim and sought a permanent injunction, barring American from engaging in price coordination. The case didn't go to trial. American Airlines settled quickly, agreeing to a consent decree that prohibited the airline from discussing pricing with competitors. Crandall issued a carefully worded public statement, calling the conversation an offhand remark made in frustration, not a serious proposal. But the damage was done. The Crandall-Putnam call became instant legend in antitrust law. It's now taught in nearly every law school's competition policy course.